This is the Future of IP Protection podcast, brought to you by MorphVision. This show is dedicated to arming companies with the skills, know-how, and technology they will need to future-proof their IP protection strategy for the years ahead.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Future of IP Protection podcast. I'm Brandi Spence, Head of Marketing with MorphVision. Our guest today is Allison Cunningham, the Program Manager Strategy for the IECC Amazon Program and previously a key member of the IECC MarketSafe Program. We're thrilled to have her on the show today, and we're excited to hear her take on the latest trends and challenges in the field. So let's jump right in. Thank you for joining us today, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're really excited to hear your thoughts and your expertise and have you share your insights with our listeners. But let's start a little bit and have you tell us about your background and the work that you're currently doing at the IECC.
Sure. So in terms of my background, I actually studied international relations and Mandarin, and I was working as an intelligence contractor at the World Bank Group when I first learned about IECC, which stands for International Anti-Counterfeiting Coalition. And for those of you listening who aren't familiar with IECC or what we do, we're a Washington, D.C. based nonprofit, and we focus mainly on just combating counterfeiting and other forms of IP infringement through collaboration, which is a word that will come up probably often during this conversation, with over 250 different businesses, industries, associations, law firms, et cetera, et cetera. So then in terms of my role at IECC, I joined in 2021. Like you said, I'm the program manager for the Amazon program, and this is mainly our collaboration, there it is again, with Amazon to just make sure rights holders have the necessary tools and channels of communication to effectively resolve complex IP enforcement issues. Like you said, I did used to work as a program manager on the MarketSafe program, which is our collaboration with Alibaba, and I still work very closely with that program manager. And I also work pretty closely with the program manager for the IECC Roadblock Program, which is our IP enforcement initiative with payment processing companies.
Right. So with your extensive experience here, we'd like to hear a little bit more now about what drives your passion for this work and intellectual property. So can you share with us what motivates you and excites you the most about this important work that you and your team are doing?
Yeah. So two main things come to mind when I think about this question. And the first one is keeping consumers safe. I think there's a great deal of unspoken trust that goes into online shopping. And whether that product be child safety cabinet locks or water filter replacements, vitamins, makeup, you name it. If that trust is broken, though, not only does it discredit the channels through which the product order was fulfilled, but also poses a serious threat to the consumer who may not know that their product is fake until it's too late. And the second thing that comes to mind is really, honestly, it comes down to protecting original work. I grew up in a pretty dynamic environment, and so I've seen firsthand the kind of passion, drive, and even sacrifice it can take to realize a dream. So I understand that for many rights holders, that dream takes form of their business, their invention, a product. So when I think about the work I do, I guess I see it as protecting people's dreams, as corny as that sounds.
Absolutely. There is something to that. Otherwise, you're really, you know, the counterfeiters or, bad actors out there are really taking advantage and they're stifling creativity and innovation.
Exactly.
And can you imagine, a world without that? I mean, that's just, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's a very basic human nature that goes back to even infancy, childhood, where we want credit where credit is due because we put so much hard work into these things that are meaningful to us.
Exactly. Shifting gears a little bit into the broader topic of intellectual property protection, tell us your take on the current state of the field. What's your perspective on the key trends and challenges that we're seeing today?
Yeah. So I think the IP protection field is, honestly, it's hard to look at the current state of it because it's constantly evolving. And that's just mainly to match the shifting consumer landscape that surrounds it, which is you know, mirroring what we see in society. So if you think about like our use of technology and electronics, phones, iPads, you know, et cetera, we're living in this era of convenience where everything from social interaction to grocery orders can be carried out from your smartphone. And so I think a lot of people believe that the pandemic caused businesses to leave their brick and mortars for this online real estate. But I believe that the pandemic actually just accelerated what was already happening. So through necessity, our society moved almost completely online. But due to the convenience of this lifestyle, a lot of it has stuck. So if you think about that as the society that is surrounding the IP space, then you need to think about how the IP space will evolve to adapt to that new technology that we're seeing. And then in terms of challenges, I think the challenge isn't necessarily whether or not the IP community is willing to adopt new technology. I think it's a challenge of how well this technology can keep up with consumer trends and also how accessible it will be to organizations who need it. So to kind of elaborate on that first point, one consumer trend that, you know, I think we've all seen is advertisement through live streaming. And sure, there is technology that can, you know, scan titles or hashtags of these live streams and, you know, indicate illicit activity, but it really still does take human capital to watch the actual live video and determine whether there is a case of IP infringement. And then going back to that second point about accessibility, again, with the pandemic, a lot of small, medium-sized businesses transitioned to online real estate, mainly to keep up with sales with all of the brick and mortar closing. So it's these small, medium-sized businesses that are new to the territory and also new to the IP enforcement challenges that come with it. So technology could be very, very helpful for these small, medium-sized industries, but the problem is the nature of a small, medium-sized business, which is limited resources. So the challenge there would really just be finding a way to make that technology more accessible.
More accessible for the smaller companies, right? Because they don't have those resources, right? And by the same token, the ability to be able to survive, I guess, post-COVID and do well on e-commerce for them has also made it that much easier for, you know, the counterfeiters and the bad actors and the infringers out there to also take advantage of them. And I'm sure that many being small did not necessarily see that coming. So
no, absolutely not. And there's nothing worse than reaching the height, the peak of success. You know, you maybe create your own social media pages, et cetera, and then having the curtain kind of fall on you as you realize that there is this whole other realm that comes with inventing products or marketing products, which is those who are trying to take the product itself and make it their own in a way that, you know, isn't really fair to the inventor. So
absolutely. All right. So that's a lot of different challenges, obviously, that brand owners are facing. So with that in mind, let's take a look at what are the key components of staying ahead of the curve in this field and in keeping up with the emerging technologies and trends. So what new technologies do you see currently that you're most excited about or are exploring in the context of IP protection?
I'm really excited actually about AI and machine learning because I think we can leverage it to enforce IP through more proactive measures. I think a lot of people, when they hear about AI or machine learning, they think of it as something that would replace work that, you know, humans actually do. And to some extent, that may be true, but I also believe it could enhance collaboration to sort of create a synergy between a rights holder or a tech provider. But what's most important in order to do that and to reach that synergy is that both teams will need to train the AI to enhance its effectiveness. And that comes with a lot of communication between the actual humans to reinforce what information they're putting into the AI and telling it to do. And then also coming back to it, analyzing those results together and continually tweaking it so that it can include new inputs and commands. you know, it's not a perfect solution, but I think it's exciting to me because it's a great example of how we can shape technology together to address new or emerging trends that we're seeing.
Yeah, I think that is a really good take on AI because you're absolutely right. I know there's a lot of talk about AI. It's been a hot topic for a while now, and even more so now with ChatGPT out there. But you hit the nail on the head. It's as good as it's trained, and it needs input, and it needs constant input. And so, yeah, that's a really good take on that. So let's pretend we're hopping into a time machine.
Okay.
We're taking a trip 5 years down the road. Okay. So given the rapid pace of change in the IP protection space, give us your thoughts on what you think the future is going to hold.
I thought about this question quite a bit. And I think in order to look at where it's going, we need to actually take a step back and jump back in time, maybe about 5-10 years.
We're taking that DeLorean for another ride.
Exactly. And so if you go back, you know, 5-10 years, you can kind of see IP protection was really primarily geared toward detecting and addressing IP infringement on standalone websites.
Right.
But in recent years, you know, whether it be convenience or COVID or you name it, there's been a noticeable shift in attention towards e-commerce platforms, because again, that is where society is turning toward. So today, in current present time, we're seeing now a shift again toward consumer spending on social media platforms. And so it's really hard to know, I guess, what IP protection will look like 5 years from now. But with that trend in mind, I suspect there will be a greater prevalence of buying and selling on social media, whether it be them having their own marketplaces or having it just be a small function of the platform. And I think this will lead to a greater necessity of IP protection overall in that area. But I want to make it clear that I don't think this will be replacing the need for IP protection in the e-commerce space or on standalone websites. I think it will just be adding a new dynamic to IP protection as we know it, and could actually create an opportunity, believe it or not, to approach online IP protections through a more holistic strategy rather than siloing our approach in different ways towards what we're seeing.
Yeah. So how so? Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. So I think in terms of looking at it more holistically, I think it really just comes down to understanding what we've seen in the past and how we can adapt it, you know, looking at maybe a golden standard, you know, what do we really want to see on these online marketplaces or, you know, anywhere that a consumer would touch to buy something? What makes something safe? I think it really comes down to that simple question. And a lot of people are trying to answer that, but not necessarily looking back at how we have already answered it in different ways, you know. I think by taking what we've learned, whether, you know, maybe it's standalone websites, maybe you change it a little bit to apply it better to e-commerce, or what we've learned on e-commerce, maybe you change those tactics a little bit to apply it to social media. But it really, I think, could create a great opportunity for us to collaborate all together.
You know, okay, so there's that word, collaborate. As you were saying there, I was thinking, okay, there is an opportunity here for collaboration. And we've talked, you and I talked a little bit pre this too, because we were talking about, you know, the importance of collaboration between, you know, brand owners and the marketplaces and, of course, the security providers and the associations, but everyone, law enforcement, everybody is, you know, just coming together and really sharing of information and data, and in order to really get to the root cause, right? And help each other get ahead of this vast problem. So obviously there's something to that. And I loved your take on the social media side of things. Also, you know, in terms of standalone sites, you know, you said if we took that DeLorean back, that was such a big deal back then. But, you know, we're seeing like these infringers setting up websites, once again, standalone sites, so easily, once again, right? And it links back to that social media.
Exactly.
Advertise them. So
exactly. Right. You're saying exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah. It's a remix of what we've already seen before.
I know. It's so weird. A little off topic, but I was watching the Today Show today and they were talking about Gen Z discovering digital cameras and using those instead of iPhones today. And I was like, you know, it's all just coming back and in a way.
All comes full circle. Yeah.
Isn't it though? Right. So it's interesting to see how that, you know, when we talk about the future, you're right. We have to look at the past. So yeah, that's very interesting. All right. So as we wrap up our discussion, we're curious to hear your thoughts about what actionable steps you feel like maybe some of these new brands or IP professionals can take in order to succeed in this really rapidly evolving landscape. So what would you leave them with?
I think there are three main things to digest here. I think the first thing I would note is understanding the full scope of any IP enforcement issue that you encounter, whether you be a brand, a service provider, or a coalition. I think if you can identify the threat, you then need to consider the impact it may have, that threat may have on you, on your stakeholders, on your company, et cetera. And then you need to determine the level of importance that threat is among other ongoing issues. And how you find that, you know, really comes down to my second point, which is you need to think about your solutions and determine how you can be most effective with the resources that you have. And this is big because I think a lot of small, medium-sized enterprises, you know, they look at these bigger brands who have to them what seems like this infinite amount of resources, you know, and I think it's important to look at what you have to leverage it, you know, so it's not looking at necessarily the amount of resources you have, but really the ratio to what you can do with them. So this is where it comes in handy to have a network of individuals who can really help you, guide you, provide information. I'm biased, obviously, working at IACC.
Yeah,
about collaboration.
Really good at that. You guys are great at collaborating. I mean, I frequently get the emails, hey, we have a member looking for help in this area.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You guys are good at kind of being a little bit of the glue that kind of brings together, not, you know, but.
Exactly. And that's really what we strive to do, you know, and whether it be us or anyone else who has a similar mission, it really does come down to having that network of people who can really help you and help you also narrow down based on what resources you have, all of the great things you can do with them. And then I think the third key thing here is looking at your own IP protection strategy and reevaluating it often. As, you know, we've talked about during this conversation, the nature of IP enforcement is changing rapidly. And so you'll want to constantly look at your own protocols or your own programs and ask yourself, you know, are they still effective or are they relevant? And if not, it's important to not be afraid to make changes or try new tactics.
Yeah, that's a really great piece of advice because, you know, it's not one and done and keep going. You're absolutely right. Reevaluate, retest. Yeah.
Exactly.
And stay on top of it. Mm-hmm. Well, Allison, thanks again for joining us. It's really been a pleasure talking with you today. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, where would be the best place for them to go?
You can learn more about IACC and myself on the IACC website, which is iacc.org, or you can also follow me on LinkedIn.
Great. Well, that's it for today's episode of The Future of IP Protection. We hope you've enjoyed our conversation with Allison Cunningham, Program Manager at IACC. And as she just mentioned, to learn more about IACC and its work in the field of intellectual property, please be sure to check out their website at iacc.org. And don't forget to tune in to our next episode, where we'll continue to explore the latest trends and developments in the world of IP protection. Thank you for listening.